What's in your toolbox? We'll find out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the rain report for August 3rd. So just what is in your household toolbox? Wrenches, screwdrivers, pliers, ham radio? If your toolbox is like many, there's no room for ham radio in it. That's silly, of course, but seriously, what do you have in your ham radio toolbox? Some answers are coming up in an excerpt from a 2018 Dayton Hamvention talk. Quoting from the 2018 Hamvention Program Guide, amateur radio operators have a history of helping their communities by providing radio communications in good times and in bad. You need to prepare yourself. Preparedness is about training so you will be ready when called upon. Being ready is about believing it can happen and taking steps needed to act properly when things go bad. The following is an excerpt from this 2018 Hamvention Forum voiced by Ken Bailey, K1FUG, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Assistant and Continuing Education Program Administrator.
So many reasons why you may want to participate in public service communications. You'll notice that I'm using the term public service rather than emergency communications, because everything that we do is not an emergency. We may be participating with communications in a parade. Maybe we're doing some training, some other facet of amateur radio that borders on training for emergency communication, but it has to do more with a larger community, non-emergency related. So it's going to be public service. So everyday communications is not necessarily going to be amateur radio related. We find that even in Puerto Rico, after the hurricane, that there were some individuals who had access to cell phones, satellite phones, and they used them to their greatest benefit. Amateur radio played a part, but landlines may have still been available. Wi-Fi and internet may or may not be available. Amateur radio may pick up the slack. But if it's available, the best communications tools to use will be those that are landline, cell, satellite phones if you have them. Even REAC, citizen band radio systems have been utilized. Amateur radio is just one of the ways in which we can communicate during and after a disaster. It's proven itself for many years, actually over 100. There are tales of amateur radio being utilized to communicate accidents during disasters, floods, hurricanes, 100 years ago when amateur radio was still in its infancy. So it's been around for a long time. Most recently, as we all know, the 2017 hurricanes in the Caribbean, where the islands out there were devastated. They had no means of communications except for amateur radio in the greatest part. Amateur radio is one of those things that you can do. It's one of those tools. I like to use the term in your toolbox. There are many other ways to communicate, amateur radio being just one. So what's in your toolbox? You know, I think back about everything you've ever learned, whether it's your general education in school, specific training and skills. If you're a semi driver, can drive one of those big rigs, come in real handy during a disaster to move equipment and supplies around. That's one of those things that you can say is in my toolbox. Equipment knowledge of equipment, and as I said, not just amateur radio equipment, any equipment at any location. The Red Cross has radio equipment, and you may be called upon to use theirs when it's necessary. Even though you don't really have any experience with the equipment, you'll learn as you go. You can add those to your toolbox. Your amateur radio license is a tool in your toolbox. Understanding amateur radio theory. You know, every time you studied for your license, whether it was technician or you're upgraded to general, that knowledge just doesn't go away. It stays with you. That's a tool. You might be able to utilize one day. So how do you get started? First step is to join your local Aries group. How do you find them? Is it difficult to find? I get calls rather frequently that they don't know how to contact their local Aries group, and they want to know if I can provide them with some information. You can also, besides calling League headquarters, go to an amateur radio club meeting or other ham radio operators in your community that you might know. Ask your section manager for contact information for your section leadership. Page 16 of QST, every issue, you will find the names and contact information for your leadership. If you don't know how to access your Aries group leadership, contact your section leadership. If they don't know, maybe because there's no one in that particular area, you might suggest, well, I'm really interested. How can I help? And your section manager will take it from there. So you've joined your local Aries group. Now what? Talk with your emergency coordinator. The EC is the team leader in public service communications. He's the go-to person, or I should say she, because there are various groups throughout the communities, and a lot of women have become involved with Aries in leadership. Just talk with them and ask them, what training do I need? What training will you provide? Work with your EC to develop a training plan. Some areas are using a task book so you can track your training. It's becoming much more popular. And I would suggest take all the training that you can find, even if it's not amateur radio related. FEMA has lots of courses. Most of them are free. It's a lot of fun. If you aren't aware of them, you can get information shortly on how to access them. So speaking of training, what kind of training is available? The American Radio Relay League has these particular courses available. EC-001, which is the Introduction to Emergency Communications. A more advanced course for leadership is EC-016. And we have a course that's been around for a while. I will say that it's probably in need of revising, but it's the Public Information Officer course. And it's available online, and it's free. I've had through the years to describe how to actually download the course itself and access it. So it's a little bit, I wouldn't say unwieldy to manage, but it's certainly a good course to take if you're interested in that. And even if you're not, take the course. You'll get a certificate. It's something that you could add to your toolbox.
You're listening to an excerpt from a 2018 Hamvention Forum voiced by Ken Bailey, K1FUG, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Assistant and Continuing Education Program Administrator. More about what should be in your ham radio toolbox in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
The EC-001 is still the introductory course. You can find it online, and I'm going to speak a little bit more about that. There are also instructor-led courses locally, and we're always looking for instructors. And there's a self-study path. There was a book out. We found that a lot of errors in the book, so that has to be revised. That will be forthcoming. We have a new course content out there, newly revised, relevant information in chapters, a lot of digital information that everybody's been asking for. We're also going to be doing a new online platform. The former organization, CTDLC, has decided not to continue offering the course. So we've had to take a look at what we can do. So we're going to be providing a new online platform, and I think you'll find it'll be a little bit easier to manipulate, to navigate. So you listen and you will see and hear more about the online course. Now, often I get a call that says, my Aries group wants me to take training. Is training required? Every Aries group, I'm sure, endorses you taking some training. And maybe they'll offer the training. So I would certainly begin by asking them, do you provide training? Do you offer training? What do you suggest? Many of them will say, I'm sure, that there are courses out there, such as EC001 that you can take. There's the ICS courses. I recommend, and so do most Aries groups, ICS 100, 200, 700, and 800. Those are your core courses. Take them. They are free. FEMA has been very good and providing them for years. They keep updating the courses. So if you've taken ICS 100A, there might be B or C that's newly revised. Take a look. There's Skywarn courses, and there are agency-provided courses. If you're involved with the Red Cross, Red Cross offers a lot of courses. There's first aid. And if you work with the Red Cross, that training is usually free. Many other types of training that they provide. If you're working alongside their workers, you may find that you're going to be asked to take some of that training. Certainly, go for it. It's only a few hours of your time. I think you'll find it very beneficial. FEMA offers a course, I think it's IS-22. I could be mistaken. But it's about family emergency plans. You know, you're away, you are deployed, even locally, you have your family at home. If the danger involves them, what have you done to offer them some ideas about what to do in that situation? There's the course that FEMA offers. There's a plan that you can fill out, personalize it for yourself and your family. Take a look at it and definitely do something with them. Now, EC016, I mentioned earlier, you'll see the course is designed to train for leadership positions within your Aries group. EC016 can be found on our website. It's easily accessible. You do not have to pay anything to take the course. When you're reviewing the information, the material, and you're finished, and you wish to obtain a certificate, you can contact us. There is a small fee, and you can take the final assessment. We are definitely looking at everything involved with the courses, EC001, EC016, with the intention of offering them in a more accessible manner, and definitely at a lower cost. I can't tell you anymore because we are still discussing it. We have many directions to look at, many others that can host the programs for us, and we're looking at the best economical way possible so that everybody has an opportunity. The EMI, Emergency Management Institute, located down in Maryland, if you like a classroom setting, offers these courses. I mentioned the 100, 200, 700, and 800. They have many, many more involving anything you can imagine. Look at the Professional Development Series, 120, 230. You can review them up online. Just go to FEMA or EMI, Google that, and it will take you to their website. And you can read up on what these courses offer. You'll get a certificate, professional development series, when you complete them. And it's interesting. You start taking the courses. I have found that you could take one, two, or even three courses in a single day if you've got the time and you want to spend the energy to do that. It's not very complicated. It's very easy to do. I say it's a lot of fun, and you get a certificate to boot. There are other organizations that offer training. OXCOM. I think there was an OXCOM training session sponsored by FEMA, I believe. I took it a couple years ago. It was just like it is now, a few days prior to Hamvention. I took it down in Beaver Creek. It was 3 full days. It was fantastic. But I'm going to tell you, it's a long 3 days. I think it's 10 hours a day. It's quite an undertaking. But they offer training. It's more advanced. It's kind of centered on public safety communications, but they interweave amateur radio into it because many of those individuals taking the course do have their ham license. If you're taking any of the independent study exams with FEMA, those are like the professional development series, you used to be able to use your Social Security number to access those courses. You now have to obtain an SID. You can go online and register, no cost. They just want to know some basic information. So when you complete a course, they'll know which name to put on the certificate. It's way that they keep track of things. ACS, Auxiliary Communications, there are organizations located across the country that are offering some basic emergency communications courses. They're very popular out on the West Coast and other locations around the country, and that's another good way to obtain training. National Weather Service, Skywarn, they offer training. You can go online. The addresses are up there. Check them out. meted.ucar.edu is a great site to go to. They offer courses in just about any kind of weather-related topic you can imagine. Definitely check that out. Skywarn Spotter Training. If you haven't taken it and it's offered in your community, definitely go for it. It's only a few hours and you get a lot of information. You get your Skywarn Spotter card with the information on how to access the National Weather Service to report dangerous weather conditions. Echolink, NOAA, and of course, finally, their WX4NHC site, which is a National Hurricane Center down in Miami, Florida. You can actually report weather, like if you're in an area where there's a hurricane approaching or ongoing, they will receive weather reports on what is happening.
And that concludes this excerpt from a 2018 Hamvention Forum voiced by Ken Bailey, K1FUG, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Assistant and Continuing Education Program Administrator. For more about what you should make room for in your ham radio toolbox, go to ARRL.org. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2018 RAIN. All rights are reserved. This hamcast typically updates Saturday morning on therainreport.com and Saturday evenings on WTWW, a Lebanon, Tennessee shortwave station on 5.085 kHz around 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time following the amateur radio news line. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!